Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The readings are taken from Psalm 19 and the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. This is preceded by a poem read for us for Psalm 1 from Malcolm Guite's book, David's Crown. The talk is from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, and brings to a conclusion our sermon series based around Pete Gregg's book, How to Hear God. And today, hearing God in community, creation, and culture.
Beatus Deo, come to the place where every breath is praise. And God is breathing through each passing breeze. Be planted by the waterside and raise your arms with Christ beneath these rooted trees who lift their breathing leaves up to the skies. Be rooted too, as still and strong as these, open alike to sun and rain. Arise from meditation by these waters. Bear the fruits of that deep rootedness. Be wise in the tree's long wisdom. Learn to share the secret of their patience. Pass the day in their green fastness and their quiet air. Slowly discern a life, a truth, a way where simple being flowers in delight. Then let the chaff of life just blow away.
The first reading is from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The New Testament reading is from the Acts of the Apostle, chapter 17, reading from verse 22. Then Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. As I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very things you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring.
You might have heard often before someone came to the platform to do the talk or preach, that he would use actually those words from Psalm, the Psalm that we just read, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So it is my prayer that you will be encouraged, strengthened, comforted, challenged as we finish our series on how to hear God. And today we're looking at hearing God through culture, community, and through creation. And because it's an all age, I am able to take some liberties. Hopefully it will work. But I just also want to say thank you to you, Sue, because you've put this service together. And I'm quite emotional. I think it's partly what happened yesterday, and I'll talk about it. But I think really God is present. And thank you so very much, you and Sue. I think you should have done the talk because it's spot on. That's all about finding God in the orderliness of life, finding God in the brokenness of this world, hearing God in all that we do through our normal days. So I'm going to put something that I did yesterday. Hopefully it will work here. There you go. So yesterday I did my triathlon. And I finished it. So I'm still alive. There we go. And I was reflecting, well, what did I learn from God in my triathlon? So I could have been very spiritual and think about what Paul says, you know, the life is like a race. And, and it's true, Christian life, the race, and how to be prepared. But I think I've learned something more humble when I looked at my result and the category I was put in. So I'm putting in a category 40 to 49, and I'm called veteran one. Oh, there we go. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. And actually my talk will be mainly stories of how I've learned things from the world, from culture, from other people, and hopefully that would encourage you to be more attentive to just the orderliness of life and to see and find God throughout your day. And so this passage speaks that creation itself declares the presence, the glory, the reality of God. And in this passage, it shows that it's constant. Creation is always there, open for everybody to respond to. Day after day, night after night, they reveal knowledge. It's nonverbal. Doesn't speak, but it speaks very loud. Doesn't use word, but it does, speaks very loud. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Creation is available to everybody around the whole world, in every generation. It has no language barrier. A priest from the 8th century says, the whole earth is a living icon of the face of God. This is him. He's called John of Damascus. And this is his quote. The whole earth is a living icon of the face of God. Now, that word icon has changed in meaning. Today it can be like your favorite sport person. He's the icon, the representation something well-known, a person that's very successful or admired. Or more often, and I think this one is useful, is a symbol, for example, that you have on your phone. Lots of icons on your phone. And what it means is that you have this little picture that you recognize, and if you want to go on your WhatsApp, you know your WhatsApp icon on your phone, and you know that when you press on it, behind it has all the program and all that you want it to do. And the idea of creation is like an icon of God's face, is that when you pause and you look at creation, it opens you up to God's reality, to God's presence. Because the old idea of an icon is a little bit like this one, like a picture that you would pause, that you would look at intently, and that would have significance and meanings. So how has creation for me been meaningful? Well, I have two stories. I told you I'm going to tell you a little bit of stories. The first one is a story of a cat called Tiger. It's not Tiger. I couldn't find my Tiger's picture on my computer this morning. But he looks like him, or like her. I don't know if it's a her, but Tiger. Tiger the cat. Tiger the cat was a cat I met when I was working in Kent. And I was going through a very, very low, dry patch of my Christian life. I didn't lose faith, but I didn't feel God. And I was questioning what I was doing and whether I was still in the will of God. So it really was hard. And I didn't feel God was speaking to me. I would still regularly read scripture, I would do my prayers, but it really felt very, very dry. And Tiger the cat, which I didn't know was called Tiger by then, oh no, he had another name, we called him Tiger after. Tiger the cat used to come at the back of the place I was working, where I would usually have my lunch when it was nice weather. Was really a long grass patch of grass, and there was a picnic table, and I would take my lunch, and this cat would come, stand by the table, and start purring and drooling. He always drooled. And it's nice cat, and caressed him, and then he would be on his way after a few minutes, and it happened on three occasions until I heard something of God, not a loud voice, but something very deep through this cat. On the third occasion, the cat comes and brrr and drooling, and the thought came saying, if this cat, who's created by God, limited that he is, can show such, in a sense, love to me, how much more God? Even if I don't feel it, even if I don't see it, God who created this cat must love me too. And it didn't drastically change. I didn't then felt God so present, but it was a turning point for me to know that, no, okay, this is a time and God is still there and God loved me. So Tiger the cat, he continued to visit us, and then we learned that actually he was a stray cat, but someone was looking after him, but that person was moving, so he needed a home. So I took him home. And I said to my wife, this is our cat now. You must understand something about our family. Well, my wife's family and Johan, they hate cats. So I kind of converted them to be a little bit better with cats. And they converted me to believe that Toyota is the best car in the world. So there we go. That's why I have a Toyota now. The second one is this. Snapdragons. Now, what's the story behind this? Is that my son Raphael found a little shoot of this snapdragons trying to grow through the pavements outside the door. And it was nearly dying. And so he carefully uprooted it. And straight away, we put it in very good, nice ground. We put it some water, and we just watered it. And there it is now, a few months after. It's sprang, and it's just beautiful. And it reminded me, this is what God does with each of us. He finds us sometimes in a very messy place, barely alive. Well, actually, we're all dead, according to Scripture, spiritually. He finds us, and then he uprooted us from where we are, and he rooted us in him and in a community. And there, life springs through his Holy Spirit, but also through one another. And I can see that in my past, when I became a Christian, it's really my local church that was transformative for me. And in particular, is the kind of love I've received from father figures in my local church, which I didn't have at home, and how it healed me and helped me to grow in wholeness. And so for me, it's a picture of what God does when he meets us and he puts us in a place where we can grow and flourish. So what about meeting God in the ordinariness of life? I liked what you said. God speaks in all things, from morning to evening. He's there and he speaks. So I know that my good friend Richard is into rugby. I'm more into football. So after my triathlon, I rushed home to see, of course, the Champions League. Because being in Belgium, I'm kind of neutral. I can choose and pick up my teams, and I like Liverpool. So I was hoping for Liverpool to win, and it didn't happen. So I said, well, is there something I can learn? I didn't really pray, but I was thinking, oh, I'm preaching too much today. So is there something I can learn from that game? And I came to the conclusion, if you want your team to win, don't put a Belgium goalkeeper in the other team. But where do we find God? Well, I find God in the swimming pool here in Taunton. I try to go once a week, and I swim, and then I go to the sauna. And in the sauna, I meet, it's not his real name, but I meet Paul quite regularly. Hi, Paul. Hi. And we're all sweating there. And you know, Paul has a background of going to church when he was a kid, but he doesn't anymore. But in one of the conversations, I just had read again from a community theologian called Anne Morrissey. And I think her PhD was looking at signs of spirituality in the community. And so she went doing door-to-door with questionnaires to see people who don't go to church, who don't even think they believe much in anything, can they trace through that questionnaire at least one experience that they can't explain that point to something else, to the other, to a being? And I can't remember the percentage, but it's close to 90% who through the questionnaire said, oh yes, actually, you know, this happened to me. And it made me think there must be something. There must be something out there. There must be something more. And I was telling that to my friend Paul, and surprise, surprise, says, oh, you know what? And he started opening up to something that he had experienced that can only be make sense if there is a creator, a being. So finding God in everything. God speaks to everyone through creation, but through experiences. And then the other story is, how do we integrate sometimes the amount of information that comes to us, and often through the news? How do we turn that around into prayers, discerning maybe where God wants us to pray? And I think it's very difficult in our age, because in the past, news, you would go to a news shop, or it would come, and you had time to a little bit have some distance. You would open it, you would read, time to reflect. With the picture, it's more difficult because it's just in your face, and often it's quite emotional. So I'm trying to limit and to be more prayerful. And I saw that picture, and I was praying for Ukraine. And I said, God, it's big, it's a big thing. How can I pray more specifically? And the first thing is I got an email about theological college in Kiev, and there were some names that, oh no, I can pray for that college and the names that are in that email. But with this picture, as I was praying, I don't know if you recognize him. His name is Vadim Shishimarin. I hope I pronounce his name correctly, Shishimarin. And he's a 21 years old. He is a tank commander,
and he's the first who has been tried for war crime. I don't know if you know the story. He has pleaded guilty. And this is the conversation he had with the church. The church asked, "Do you accept your guilt?" He replied, "Yes." "Totally?" "Yes." And he now faces life imprisonment. When I was looking at that picture, I said, I wonder a few months ago, before the war, if I had met him, would he be that kind of person who would have killed someone? I wonder how much the horror of the war messed up his mind. It doesn't make him innocent, but I wonder. I wonder if I took time to talk to his mum, what kind of story she would have told me about him. Now he faces life imprisonment. Katerina is the wife of the man he killed, and she says to a BBC journalist, "I feel very sorry for him, but for a crime like that, I cannot forgive him." What a tragedy. A young man, 21, who's faced life imprisonment, a woman who lost her loved husband, who now is in a place of anger and unable to forgive. It makes things more real, and it helps me to pray for him, that somehow God will transform that tragedy into something different. Somehow from maybe the kind of dying that they both are, dying kind of, they will be planted somewhere where they can start healing, and maybe something amazing will grow from those two situations. So that's a few ways for me of how I experience God in the world, in nature, in culture. In that passage, second passage, we see that Paul was praying and prayerful when he was in Athens. He walked around, he prayed, and then he said here, "I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship." Do we look carefully around us, how we can connect with others? How do we see God? How do we discern what God is doing in the life of your friends or in the life of your community? Paul had that mentality of a prayerful discerning, and he was then able to connect with the people of Athens and to bring about the message of the gospel. I'll stop here. I was going to speak about this because it's about connecting the community, but I think I just want to go back to what I said at the beginning when I said, for me, my local church, when I became a Christian, was the place, the transforming place of healing. And we should have that as a prayer, that we continue at St. James to be a place of healing where through real relationship, committed relationship, we can grow and we can become more what God is calling us to be. Let's finish with that as a prayer. Holy Spirit, you are living in all of those who have opened themselves to you, and you are sending us out in the world to be the witness of your great love. Help us as a community to be loving one another, and help us as a community to be shining brightly in our world. And individually, help us to have our eyes open to the wonder of your creation, to the creative skills that you've given us, and speak to us through the culture, the community, and the whole of creation this week. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.